Hey guys, welcome to Unpacking Design. I'm Mike LaValle.
And Tim Ung, and this is a show where we tell you about products and ideas that relate to designers all over the world.
Hey, what's up everybody? Welcome back to Unpacking Design. Tim, as you know, I am thinking of something that we're going to talk about right now that we have not talked about. You have no idea what this topic is.
Right.
And I feel like it's an important one. It's along the lines of what we've been talking about with unpacking identity and unpacking these other things. And I want to talk about unpacking burnout.
Okay. That's a good one, actually, because I almost burned out recently. So
I think this is important, especially for designers or creatives in all trades, because it's something that sneaks up on you, and it's something that if you're not careful can derail you for significant amounts of time or make you depressed, or it has a lot of negative effects. But I think my own experiences and what I kind of want to do is delve into times where we've specifically dealt with that, and then maybe how we've kind of recovered from it, and then talk about maybe how to avoid it or how to mitigate it or how to kind of bounce back from burnout.
Yeah.
So I'll start. We've mentioned it a couple times now, but last year I went through a fairly significant burnout, and it had to do with my relationships, my health, and my overall just like sanity of like where I was in my career and like what my next steps were and what I was doing with my life. It was like a very, it was like a, you know, I'm 33 right now. So like it's a third life crisis or like it's not midlife yet. But like I just got to this point with a lot of things where I had been pushing myself really, really hard out of school for nearly a decade. And, you know, I've achieved a lot for somebody my age, and I recognize that now looking back on it. But in the moment, you're like, what am I doing next? What am I, how am I going to get to the next thing? How am I going to hustle to push myself and achieve these dreams that I've always had of doing this or doing that? And I think when it came to being a creative person, I always put myself into a mode of creation is always good, you know, no matter what. And on some level, that's true, but it's also not true for the creator. Because if you do, if you create something at the expense of everything that you are and your life and the people around you, there's this like tainted thing that happens with how you feel about the thing that you've created. So, for example, I was working on a, and I'm, it's since been kind of rebooted, and I'll get to that in a minute, but I have a blog, Evolving Architect, and it was all-encompassing, and I've just kept building it and building it, writing every week, and, like, putting out newsletters, and it was a very creative outlet for me. And then I went to the extent of even creating a course, an online course, with it, which was like 7+ hours of content, which to me now that I'm saying it out loud, it kind of sounds crazy because you're like, you know, it's really helpful for people. And it's really a, like I said, it's all goes back to this creative endeavor as a designer. I'm always thinking about how to expand my skill set and expand the way that I think about design and creativity. And each new time, I was just like, you know, I'm going to keep building on what I just learned and just keep building out these skill sets by creating more and more stuff. And I didn't realize that the foundations around me were kind of crumbling. Like my relationships with my family and my wife started to become strained because I was spending so much time in this world, in this creative world, in, and this is not my 9-to-5 job. This is my side hustle, my extra thing. So I'm working like not even just 9-to-5, but like 7-to-7 some days, you know. And then I'm coming home and doing this other stuff, and I'm not sharing the free time with the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, because I'm putting so much effort into those things, I'm not taking care of myself at all. And I probably hit like my worst overall weight limit that I've ever had mm-hmm. in my entire life. My highest weight limit.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to the gym. I wasn't exercising at all. I was eating garbage, essentially, you know, mm-hmm. fast food and all this sorts of stuff. And I wasn't getting that much sleep because I was always working and just trying to find an extra hour or just trying to find a couple extra minutes here and there. And at some point, I just like really just burnt out. Like there was one day that I just, everything kind of like fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I don't even know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this moment that I had with everything where I was, I stopped Evolving Architect altogether for months. It ended up being almost a year before I mm-hmm. even touched it again, really.
Well, before we go there, why don't you talk about what it feels like to burn out? Because I don't know if people know what it feels like. I don't even think I know what it feels like.
It's not good.
Okay.
So I think the easiest way to describe the way that I felt burnout is I felt like all the things that I had worked on, while in the moment they mattered, they immediately did not matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I reckon it's like when you best way to describe it, I looked in a mirror one day and I looked at myself. I'm like, this is not who I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
It's like I looked at myself in the mirror and it was like this sort of like this moment when I absolutely just like detested the person that I saw in mm-hmm. the mirror, because the person that I saw in the mirror wasn't the energetic sort of creative leader that I thought I was being. I was just like this sort of like shriveled mess of Mike,
mm-hmm.
basically the shriveled version of myself.
Yeah.
I have like super like dark bags under my eyes. Mm-hmm. I was obviously the heaviest that I had ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that turned into a huge confidence thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just recognized the fact that like I was just really like tired in my bones,
mm-hmm.
like tired to the point where I didn't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to kind of like curl up in a ball and like let the world sort of like wash over me. Just just let the world happen. Like
yeah.
I really did. And I probably would have if I had this much time banked up, but I probably would have taken a couple months just off, mm-hmm. like from work altogether.
Yeah.
Would
you say it kind of feels like when you, I don't know if you've ever had mm-hmm. this experience before, but if you were to like, if you ended up in a relationship where you were so in love and then you broke up, and then that feeling of depression where it's like things are tasteless, you don't really have anything that you're passionate about, you don't wake up with energy to like, oh, I want to do this thing, I, you know, have creative ideas that I want to pursue today.
Yeah, it's, you feel broken.
Yeah,
you feel
that's
like
a good way of putting
you
it.
Feel like you're not you feel like you're not being true to yourself and what you really want out of your life. Like there's stuff and there's things that you make, and that goes back to the creation is always good. But I remember something that one of my high school teachers had said, and he always sort of professed moderation, like doing
yeah.
everything in moderation. And
yeah.
when you're like in high school, you're like, yeah, whatever. I'm
yeah.
in high school. Like, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And it's something that I came back to when I was kind of going through all this last year and just trying to reconcile what the next steps were.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still was on this like sort of high of like, I'm creating everything. I'm doing all the
mm-hmm.
stuff. I'm making things and
yeah.
it's helping people and
yeah.
I'm designing all the things I want to do. you know, because on top of Evolving Architect, I had been doing design competitions on the side for many years before that too. It's not just a blog, it's not just writing. I was doing architectural design competitions, furniture competitions, graphic design competitions. And I guess the other thing that I was doing that I didn't even recognize as an issue at the time, but was giving my time to things that were helping other people. I've always been somebody like that, that's mentoring and supporting people. But I was putting so much time towards those sort of community service things and professional service things too, that when you look at my calendar, you're like, how is this guy doing this and still like upright, you know, and still like actually able to live his life? I guess that's the kind of question that I came to, is like, I didn't have any balance at all for things that I want to do. Like, the things that I ended up doing were sort of just sort of like sitting in front of a TV, not even necessarily watching stuff in my downtime, but just like, I don't have enough energy to move, so I guess I'm going to sit in front of the TV. So I guess what this all comes down to is you feel very lost. You feel very broken, and you feel very, and this is like at the bottom of the bottom of the burnout. You can kind of tell too, and looking back this, you can kind of tell the warning signs fairly early on. And if you're just stubborn like I was, and you're ignoring them, you know, it becomes a bigger and bigger issue that compounds itself over time. So, you know, that one let's say evening that you decide not to hang out with your friends, but you're going to go make something. You know, if you had just done that thing and you just did it like once in a while, it's something that would create positivity in your life that you're not necessarily thinking of. Like, I got, and this is sort of a specific situation in some ways to my life and the way that I was living it. But I think the things that we can kind of take from this are, like, you can recognize what are positive things for your overall life and things that are positive in the moment that you are creating. And it's not that you can't have both, it's that when you are either doing too many of those creations or making too many things, and there's no time left at all for you to actually, you know, exercise, eat well, hang out with people, like bring love into your life, the stuff even that you're making starts to feel hollow. Like, it starts to, like, the things that you're creating start to feel hollow, and then you just keep like, I just felt like I had to keep doing more because I just wanted to, I was looking for things in the wrong places. And because I was so deep into the burnout, like, I just, I needed certain things to just sort of like wake me up. And there was that moment or two where it was just like, I can't keep doing this to myself. You know, like, I'm like 50 or 60 pounds overweight right now. I need to not be that way. My relationships with my family are completely strained. I'm not hanging out with my friends at all. I'm giving my time to everything else except me and the people around me. And you just get to this point where you don't know what else to do other than to just keep going. Like, it's almost like you think that by creating more, you will solve your own problem instead of what I did, which is, maybe this is where we go next, unless you have more questions, I guess. But unless you completely disconnect yourself from that stuff and walk away, it's almost like when we talk about, I was just listening to this other podcast, actually on the way here, and this woman had taken a 3-month sort of sabbatical from all social media. And we're in the height right now of social media in general. And she said that, you know, she had a, like, a withdrawal for like the first couple days, where it's like she was, her body was physically twitching from not being able to go on social media. And honestly, that's how I felt. Like, I felt like I was sort of an addict to creating stuff. And I wanted to be able to do more. But every time I looked at my sketchbook and I looked at my computer, every time I looked at anything that related to anything I was doing before, mm-hmm. I got like this like sick feeling, because it was something that had essentially brought me to the point that I was at.
Yeah.
And the thing that this is what I meant earlier when I said that it becomes tainted, is like the stuff that I had built over several years felt like it was now in some ways like my enemy, or mm-hmm. some ways the thing that had caused the feelings that I was dealing with right then. Mm-hmm. And it's like I had sort of done this to myself, was sort of the overall feeling that I had.
Yeah.
And when you take that and you sort of recognize it, it's like understanding your own addiction to creating things, or just being a overly passionate about whatever you're doing mm-hmm. in your work life, or whatever you're creating or designing.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing. So I don't know if my situation is very specific to me, and we've talked about this a lot off the podcast, mm-hmm. but it's something that I think is important for people to keep talking about, because mm-hmm. I would never wish this on my worst enemy yeah. in terms of like what happened to me, because it took me, I'm still working on it. Mm-hmm. I'm still getting out of, in some ways, that burnout.
Yeah.
And it's something that I feel like is important for people to know, so that, you know, they don't have to spend an entire year of their lives trying to like reconnect with themselves mm-hmm. in the way that I had to, because otherwise I would just, you know, I probably would have burnt out to the point where I, you know, I could have either done some real health damage to myself mm-hmm. or something else could have happened, you mm-hmm. know. And that's why I think that this was an important topic to bring up.
Yeah, I think it's important for designers in general, because a lot of designers do what you were talking about, where in the beginning of our careers, we get out of school and we have so much energy.
Yeah.
And you want to put it somewhere. So then you find these things to pursue, and some of these things are directionless. You're just pursuing it because you want to put your energy to something.
Yep.
And at the time, it sounds like really good projects, really good ideas. And then as you're pursuing them, one day you might even question it and say, why am I doing this? Like, where is this leading, you know? And I remember seeing you in that time, because that's when you and I both started our blogs at that same relative time.
Yep.
And you were always creating something. Like every week it was some high quality white paper written kind of post. It was mm-hmm. a long blog post that took a lot of energy. And I remember we kept talking about, you know, my overall comments to you were, I think you got to bring this down and just make your post something that comes from the gut, just something that was more about you and just your perspectives than writing it and then distilling it, because that's what you were doing.
Right.
And that distilling took so much time and effort. And, you know, eventually, I think it's important that people hear just how your story went, that it became something that you ended up hating in a way.
Yeah.
You know, every time you look at it, it brings back bad memories. And for me, I actually don't know if there was a time that I almost burned out or that I did burn out. That's why I thought it was important to hear what the feelings are like, because your feelings are probably common among everyone who experiences it.
Sure.
The only time I can say I probably almost burned out was sophomore year of college.
Yeah.
And it was because I didn't know if I wanted to do architecture anymore. And I really questioned it. I was like, am I going to finish this education? Am I going to be an architect? Like, this field has just so much unknowns that I couldn't deal with. And at the time, I was just lost. And I almost gave up. And then I was like, you know what? I'll give it one more semester, see how it goes. I gave it that one more semester. And at that time, what I learned was the reason why I almost burned out is because I kept focusing on one thing.
Right.
And I think it definitely relates to the person, like you said. Everyone's going to be different. For me, I have to focus on multiple things at once. I can't just focus on one project. And you probably know that. You know, yep. You and I have met for the past year and a half, and like I've always got something going on, but I've got 10 other things going on. And it was important to know my personality, because had I just been the person that focused on this one thing forever, I would have always burned out because I reach a point where I just get stuck, and then getting stuck on a project feels like crap. Like you just, you feel like you get depressed when you run out of ideas. And that's why for me, I'm always juggling everything. You know, I'm always looking at my leather work as one thing. And when I start to reach a point where I need to take a break, I switch over to architecture. When I need reach a point where I need to take a break, I switch over to something related to my health. And this all happens throughout the time period of a day.
Yep.
You know, and without that switch over between different fields, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing. I'd probably not get as far as I'm getting as well. You know, and I think the biggest point you made was balance. Definitely a big thing, because if you don't balance things in your life well, you're probably going to end up with a health issue, which is sad to say, but that's what it means to really get into a field that you're passionate about. You want to give it your all, and sometimes that means sacrificing your health, which should never be a sacrifice.
No, and the one thing that I heard someone say, this was an interview, this is actually, it happened at like the perfect time for me. It was an interview between Gary Vaynerchuk, and we've talked about Gary a lot on this podcast, and Jewel, the singer. Mm-hmm. And she started talking about, because Gary brought up work-life balance, and how, like, or somebody asked the question that came up in the conversation. And her response was that she didn't really think of it so much as work-life balance, and like one is directly connected to the other as like a scale that you physically see in front of you. But almost that it's more about harmony. Which I feel like is a much more appropriate word, especially for where I am and getting out of the burnout. And think of it more as like you have a series of buckets. And there, it's not just one scale, but it's like five or six different things. One of them could be your creative work. One of them could be your physical health. One of them could be relationships with other people. One of them could be, and so on. And the thing that's helped me with that is that, you know, there's always going to be something probably of the four or five things that you focus on that are, that need work or that need help to bring everything back into harmony. But as long as you're dedicating some form of really concentrated effort to make all of them whole or to make all of them work, you're going to find much more harmony in your life. And I think that's ultimately what I found out of all this is that I was trying to find that harmony by just pushing myself more and more and more into one thing, which sounds kind of silly when you say it after you're not in that position, but I know that a lot of people probably feel that way where they think, oh, well, if I just finish this project, then everything will be better. Or if I just finish this goal, everything will be better. And it doesn't necessarily always relate to work. Like, you could just be, like, only invested in physically exercising, like, all the time. And even though that it sounds weird that that would be a bad thing, if you're not, you know, relating to other people, or let's say you're not even being that creative often, and then you start to get depressed because you're not producing work that you're proud of. You know, like, it's not that any one of these things is bad. And I think that's a, another point of clarification that I had was that it's not that the work is bad. It's the amount of time and effort and focus that I put into that one bucket was bad.
And I think that makes a lot of sense, and the bucket analogy is a really good one. And I remember that episode from Gary Vee's podcast, but for me, when I listened to it, I saw it in the same way, and I think harmony is a good way of describing where you want to get. And I guess the a bigger question now is, since you've gone through the burnout, and you're I would say you're towards the end of the recovery of getting out of it, not a lot of people will actually get out of it. Some people burn out, and they burn out forever. And if you think of the term burnout, and you think about drag racing, which is where a lot of people would associate it, it's when they spin their wheels so fast, and it burns the rubber, it melts it so they can get more grip on the raceway. But they only race for like 10 seconds.
Right?
So if you're working so quick and so fast and so hard, and you're just like in this zone, once you're done burning out and you finish that race, you kind of reach the end. Then it's like, what's next, right? So now that you've burned out, do you ever come back? You're in the moment of coming back. Others are not. How would you say you got out of that burnout? What did it take for you to get to the point you're at now?
So I guess two things with that. One, I will get into that in just a sec, but I think the other thing that's important here is that I still have moments of potential burnout that are smaller, like little hills versus the huge mountain that I was in before or trying to deal with before. And it's a constant struggle in trying to keep all these things in harmony. But I think what it comes down to is, I had a few, let's say I had a health scare, I had relationship issues. I had essentially what came down to a life crisis is kind of what it came down to, where I had this, it's almost like I could see in front of me, like I had two paths. One was to keep doing what I was doing, and one was to adjust everything in my life to almost rebuild all of those other buckets or all those other pieces back up because they were so light or they were so poorly handled. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I knew I needed to do was get healthier, physically healthier. So, since that point, I've lost 50 pounds and I go to the gym regularly. Mm-hmm. It's still a work in progress. I even told you before we started talking about this that like last week I went once, this week I went three times. Yeah. Like it's not like it's a perfect thing, right? But finding a, here's actually a really good suggestion. Finding a goal for each one of those things that you want to focus on to rebuild. So for example, for the physical, I entered a corporate challenge race, which is a little bit over a 5K. And my only goal was to just enter it and see what happened, really. And this was at the point where I was trying to rebuild my health. So I entered that and I achieved that. And it's an immediate confidence booster because you're working towards that thing. Mm-hmm. And then you want to do something else. So then the next goal is a little bit harder, a little bit more challenging. And over time, this isn't, that's the caveat. This is not like an overnight fix. This took me like months and months and months of my life to like actually do this. But one day at a time, just giving yourself these little goals and then medium-sized goals and then bigger goals for each of those buckets. And over time, you'll see that the buckets get filled. Mm-hmm. And you'll start to see that the imbalance that was there starts to kind of like neutralize and everything kind of is relatively the same level rather than one being way out of whack and like all of your focus is there. Now that means like I literally did not create things for almost a year. And that sounds so weird for me to say out loud, but I really didn't focus on that for at least 6 months. And then I was only just like thinking about what the next step might be in the months after that.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually physically start making things until probably a year after I burnt out. Mm-hmm. So I think it comes down to little goals to build up everything else. And that might mean sacrificing the thing that got you there in the first place. Mm-hmm. And just like walking away almost entirely like cold turkey and just saying, look, I'm going to come back to you. But as a creative person and as even just as a human being, I need to take care of myself in these other ways. Mm-hmm. And then I will, reinvest into, my creativity at some point when everything else is right. Mm-hmm. Because the thing I thought about was like, so I'd been doing this to myself for basically 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you think about it, that means that all the other pieces had been neglected for maybe not that entire time, but a majority of that time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it makes sense that it took the amount of time now that it's taken for this to sort of work itself back is like that's why it takes so much time to come out of it, because it takes so much time to get to that place.
Yeah. I just wanted to jump in before you moved on to a different topic. So when you talk about taking time away from that main focus, that one bucket, and you focus on the other things, do you feel like, because this is within the past year that you did it, do you feel like that gave you more energy and more creativity? Did it re-energize that part of you as a creative person?
Yes, because I could, the immediate answer is yes. I think the thing that changed is I had to reimagine what my life after all of this would look like creatively. Mm-hmm. So like it couldn't be the same is kind of what I'm getting to. Like I knew I couldn't go back to exactly what I was doing. And even it's funny because one of the first creative things I did was this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like this to me is a creative like outlet that we have, that we share. Mm-hmm. And I told you from the very beginning that like as soon as this becomes not fun, I don't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the sort of mentality that I've taken with a lot of the stuff that I've been investing in, mm-hmm. in creatively, is like it has to be enjoyable beyond just making.
Yeah.
And beyond just the gratification of having created it. Mm-hmm. It's an important distinction because before I wasn't doing that. And I was just making to make stuff mm-hmm. so that ultimately over time I would have a larger portfolio of things I had done.
Yeah.
And creatively though, I think now I see things differently in a much healthier perspective. I, as much as it aggravates me that I don't have as much time, I also recognize to work on the creative stuff. Mm-hmm. I also recognize the fact that if I was to dedicate that much time again to those things, it's that wouldn't actually make me happy mm-hmm. because the other things are all like all of it together. It's not just that the other things by themselves make me happy. Mm-hmm. Everything together in harmony makes me happier mm-hmm. as a person. Because the one thing I would say is I wouldn't want to just entirely cut out my creativity or my design pursuits forever. Mm-hmm. If I had done that, I would just be potentially just as miserable because that's part of me. That's part of how I am fulfilled as a creative person, is to work on projects, to work mm-hmm. on designs, to be somebody who makes things and brings them yeah. into the world. So I don't know if that really answers your question.
Yeah, it was a good answer. And it's funny because you can tell I'm trying to focus a lot of this on you because for me, I don't want to jinx the fact that I haven't been close to burnout in the past, you know, 8 years or so or 10 years, you know. It's
right.
It's something that I'm grateful for, and I think it's because I found that balance that you're talking about.
Sure.
And I know one day it might go a little bit out of scale, but for now, like for me, I feel like I'm moving everything in the right direction in my life, you know.
Yeah. And it's always just sort of like another thing you could do that I've actually done recently is I just kind of check in with myself.
Yeah.
Like I have a relative, like, every couple months, I will say, look, am I really doing this well? Mm-hmm. You know, like, am I on a good path? And I will just, it's about making minor adjustments rather than giant, like, full, like, 90-degree turns.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about... It's not about making big moves, it's making a lot of little moves.
Yeah.
So that you're tweaking and you're adjusting what you're doing, not mm-hmm. just like overhauling all the time.
Yeah. And I think for me, what's helped me the most is just constantly evolving my ideas and like changing them when they're not something that I'm happy with. Just like you said, it has to be fun for you. For me, it has to be something I'm happy with.
Yeah.
And sometimes it means giving up a project or giving up an idea that like I really wanted to pursue.
Yeah.
But every day I have ideas that I really want to pursue. And I think letting go was the biggest thing ever. Like learning to let go is so hard, especially for creative people. Like
you probably have a
book like I do where you write your ideas down. You're like, one day I'm gonna pursue this idea.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you look at this book a year later and it's just filled with ideas you could have pursued.
Right. No, it's traumatic sometimes.
Yeah. And so then now you look at this thing and you're like, had I pursued each one, what else would I have done with my life?
Right.
Right. And so for me now, I have some kind of direction that I'm heading in my life, like this one direction. It's not clear, like, you know,
right.
if I were in a car, in a vehicle, it's a lot of twists and turns and bends and right. like driving through traffic. And it's that one road. Whereas before, every idea I had, half of them went to the right, half of them went to the left. There was always a fork.
Yeah.
And none of these ideas had relativity. And now that I have that relativity, I focus on that. And that's what you're kind of talking about, that you're on this road with five lanes, and then you reach an exit where there's three different exits. And each time you reach that exit, you're like, what do I do? Do I right. stay on this road with these five buckets, or do I add on these other roads? As you start adding more things on, it's just like, well, how do I manage all of this now?
Yep.
So when you can let those other ones go and you can stay focused on a road you should have been on, you yeah. spend less time on the things you're going to hate later on, and you can focus on the things you're going to love.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really helps me, just making sure I always stay on that road. And if an idea comes up, I weigh it against that road, and I'm like, this is not going to make me happy. You know, like
yep.
one good example is getting into the stock market. I don't invest yet because I don't have the finances right. to do it, but I know I want to do it.
Yeah.
I just know now is not the time. So I don't even think about it. I just like put it out of sight and out of mind, but I have a year where I will do it. And I plan ahead now. Back then, I never planned ahead.
Yeah.
You know, and for you, it sounds like you're planning a lot now. I think the issue that we're both seeing is execution now has become somewhat of an
yeah.
issue.
Yeah.
But it's because you're weighing everything against what you're doing that makes you happy. And it's not a bad thing. It just means the time you thought it would take you might actually take a little longer than you anticipated.
Yeah, there's two things there. One is, I honestly, a fallout of all of this is that I am crippled a little bit by fear that I will revert back to what I did.
Yeah.
And I, in some ways, probably could have started back up the blog and the writing and the creating and all that stuff earlier. And I kept telling myself that I was going to start it up. And then I got to those moments where I was like, I just don't know if I really want to commit to this yet. And part of it is just, I want to keep living my life without it mm-hmm. for a while. It's kind of like when you go, like when you're done for the summer in school and you're just like hanging out and you're like, I don't really want to go back to yeah. college yet, or I don't want to go back to high school or whatever. And I just had that moment where I was just like, you know what? It's okay right now. And I'm like, it's okay that I'm not doing this
yeah.
thing. The other thing that I liked about what you said that I think is really true is like, you're on this path. The thing that I keep coming back to is you will never know what the alternative is.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter which choice you make to some mm-hmm. degree, because you will never know what the alternatives are.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie called Sliding Doors, which I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No, I've never heard of it.
With Gwyneth Paltrow. It was like from the 90s or whatever. But the point is like, there's this one moment in this one day at the very beginning of the movie where she misses a train.
Mm-hmm.
And then it splits for like the rest of the movie into, well, what if she made the train?
Mm-hmm.
So the entire movie is, here she made the train and her life goes in one completely different direction because she made it.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, she misses the train and her life goes in a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm.
You will never know which Gwyneth Paltrow you are, which I know that sounds really yeah. stupid, but like you'll never know what the other one is. And you can only live your life each day trying your best to, you know, keep all of those buckets and all of those pieces of your life in as much of a harmony as you can,
mm-hmm.
because you'll never know the alternative.
Yeah.
And if you just focus enough of your attention, recognize the things that will probably lead you down a bad path, like in the moment, you kind of know if you're neglecting a friend or mm-hmm. you're neglecting your health or you're you have this feeling, or at least I did, that something is off or something is wrong. And if you have that moment, question whether or not you should deal with it and how to deal with it in a positive way. Mm-hmm. Because I think as people, we have very sensitive receptors to things like that. And, you know, we've had enough experience living on Earth that we should be able to make positive choices as much as we can, but sometimes we fall off the wagon and mm-hmm. it's okay. I guess that's the other thing I want to kind of like end this on, is it's okay to recognize that you're burning out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of what you do to help yourself get out of it. Or if you know that you're getting towards burnout,
mm-hmm.
trying to recognize that, hey, this isn't healthy. I need help. I need to talk to people. You know, the one thing I learned as I was trying to work on the burnout and trying to get out of it was I realized that a lot of people really have been going through this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their own issues. And when you just start talking to other people, you know, it's difficult because you don't want to admit that you're failing, essentially, or that you're having troubles. But putting yourself out there was probably, well, for putting myself out there was one of the best things I did, because I didn't feel like I was alone anymore when I was dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really just about communicating your feelings and trying to keep everything together and working on things one day at a time.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good note to end on. And I think for this podcast, it's good that you were able to open up and tell people about your own experiences, because some people look at it as being so traumatic that they can't even face it and talk about it, you know? And being able to listen to someone like you who's gone through it, talk about how you went through it, and also how you're coming out of it. I think that's really important for people who are in this situation now or who might be headed in that same path, to recognize it and understand that there is a way of getting out of it, you know, or getting over it.
Yeah, and there will be people that support you, you know, as you work on, like, as a very superficial example, as I lost weight and I got healthier, people were cheering me on and, like, really trying to be behind me to, to, you know, keep going and keep working on myself. And surrounding yourself with people like that in your life and really working on those relationships, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. And you can check us out anytime at the unpackingdesign.com website.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.